Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with world high-stakes golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you have a business, how do you relate to your customers? Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to easily find new prospects and new customers? Have you ever wondered why your finances are a mess? I hope not. Would you like to learn what happens when you become a leader in your business and in your life? Tell me, have you ever heard of a book called Open Your Heart with Skiing? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to become a true leader? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest co-host. He's a success coach extraordinaire. He is Skyping into the show today from London, England. He will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice and get us all up to date internationally speaking. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talkboard Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Our show has had over 2.2 million listeners to date. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest co-host today. He is considered by many to be one of the foremost executive coaches and business consultants in the world. He speaks internationally on business topics, including customer service in the age of social media, as well as personal development. During our show today, he will give you his insights on how you can transform your life and change your business. I would like to welcome to the show today author, speaker, and coach Steve Holkus. Welcome from London, Steve. How's it going?
Hey, January, thank you. What a great introduction you always give. My goodness. It's been a beautiful day in London, in fact. Very little rain and a lot of sun, and it's been great.
Okay, and before we went on the air, we chatted a little bit about how lovely it is to be in London, and I want to share with our listeners that you have a little jet lag that you're dealing with. But
yeah, well, that's part of the package, right?
Okay, now what brings you to London? Share with our listeners. Are you doing business, pleasure, or are you just traveling for the fun of it?
Oh, how about all three? I like the third one too. I'm leading some training over here for a few days. a combination of business leadership and a little bit of cybersecurity as well. And my lovely wife is traveling with me. And during this time, we're going to celebrate our 31st anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. I'm very happy for you. London is my favorite, one of my very favorite cities. We were based there for 1 year. My husband was a pilot, a captain with United, and we spent a lovely year in London. It was probably the best year of our career.
Nice.
Let's share a little bit with for our listeners who haven't met you before. Give them a little bit about your background. Share a little bit of how your success story began, Steve.
Well, thanks. I, you know, like a lot of folks in the U.S., I grew up in the Midwest. And, you know, one of the things I learned early on is a big part of success is really focusing and working hard, kind of knowing what it is that you're aiming for and taking it on and then adjusting as you go. Early on, I had a goal, for example, to be an Olympian athlete. I wanted to be on the U.S. ski team and race with some of my heroes and worked hard at that for a number of years until it became clear that wasn't going to happen. So, you know, had to adjust, but, you know, learning how to work hard and learning how to stay focused on a goal started pretty early for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm from the Midwest too. I'm from Michigan. So I love the Midwest. Fortunately, I couldn't stay there because the weather was getting me down. But I love the people and I try to go back for my class reunions. How old were you, Steve, when you started skiing and where did you start skiing?
I was a ripe young age of 10 years old. So, wow. You know, kind of funny though, a little older than many of the kids who I skied with in the early days, because they grew up on snow. They grew up skiing, you know, from very young age. I was a skater. I was a hockey player and backyard hockey, though, you know, kind of raw and wild. But then moved to a place where skiing was nearby. And I tell that story at the beginning of my book, Open Your Heart with Skiing. I tell a story of how my dad came home from work one day and just literally, it was August, and looked at us and said, "Hey, boys, how'd you like to learn how to ski?" My career kind of started on a whim, but I fell in love with it and it became a passion.
Where did you live that you had snow in August? that with us.
No, we that was the point. We didn't have snow. It was sunny. It was summertime. Everybody was sailing and swimming, but Dad came home and wanted to know if he wanted to learn to ski. So it was, I guess he'd been talking to somebody at work that day and they told him about it and he just decided it was a good thing for us to learn to do.
Well, did your dad already know how to do it, or was he going to learn you too?
No. He helped us learn, and then I helped him a little bit, and he decided it wasn't his thing, but he had fun when he went.
Oh, I started skiing when I married my husband, and that was very old. I was in my early 20s to take up skiing, but it was interesting. All four of our children, we took skiing from when they were, like, as you said earlier, 3 or 4, and my husband used to tie a rope around their waist.
Yeah.
And then let them ski, and then he would follow them. And if they were getting into trouble, he'd just tug on the rope. And
sure.
I'm sure these days we'd probably get arrested.
Well, you know, I kind of taught my kids that way too. So it has lasted, I think, for a while. But, you know, it's a great opportunity to get out as a family. And one of the things that a lot of, you know, those of you listening might not know, I actually do a lot of teaching of folks that are seniors. And many of the folks I have either taught to ski or worked with to improve their skiing are in their 60s, 70s, and even their 80s. And they're still skiing, and it's still an important part of a healthful life for them. And so it is a lifetime sport. A lot of people don't realize that because they see the insane kids jumping off cliffs, but that's not all there is to it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing lately with your career. You're an expert in transformation and change, and you've been a co-author of a couple of recent books. The one is called The Change, Book 1, and Transformation, Book 2. And your chapter in Transformation talks about how you made a personal transformation and how others can do that. Tell us about your own personal transformation.
Thanks for asking about that. Yeah, it kind of rolled out of my skiing in a way, and all the traveling I was doing for business. And I kind of woke up one morning and actually saw an online picture of myself that was from one of the talks I'd given.
Uh-huh.
And I'd looked at myself and I went, oh my gosh, look at that fat old man.
Oh, no, that's not good.
No, it was not good. But you're going to do something about this, or are you going to continue to feel every day like you in my life, or there's a lot of things I could have said, right? Mm-hmm. But I said, you know what? If I'm going to change, if I'm going to feel better, I'm going to have to do something. And as I had friends who I talked to about my challenge in this area, my frustrations, because it was hard. It got harder to lose weight. It got harder to stay in shape. And one of my friends shared a book with me, and I read the book and read a story that was very inspirational to me in the book. It was in 70s in the story he was telling. And he talked about skiing on a powder day in Aspen, where the powder was up past his knees and, you know, into his hip deep powder, and how he was on the first chair in the morning and he ate lunch on the chair and he skied into the last chair and he skied
lunch.
and I just went, look, if he's in his 70s and I've been an elite athlete, what's my deal, right? What am I going to do? And it took a chapter in those kind of what I would call now near-term goals. I shifted the new, and it doesn't mean I work out hard. It doesn't mean, you know, I have a plan that I follow, proven to work. Got on the elliptical and I worked out for 45 minutes because I hadn't worked out yet. And in 2013, I weighed 192 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and I was a fat old man.
What did you do about diet? What did you have a special diet? Did you drink alcohol? How did you do this? Did you have fun?
You know, I did. I mean, I was certainly aware. You know, I'm a technologist, so I carry tools with me. So I would put into my phone, you know, the food that I ate. So I would kind of just make sure I didn't lose track of calories and start to eat too much.
Mm-hmm.
I measured myself every day.
Wow.
Every day I got on my little scale device that talks to the network and the internet and keeps track of my weight,
uh-huh.
and my body fat and all that. So I measured, and what I've learned is that measurement's important, right? If you measure yourself, you don't even have to make a decision to change anything. If you are measuring every day,
uh-huh.
the awareness alone changes behavior.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy, but it's true.
Well, you know, that's very interesting because most diets, one of the things they come right up quickly and say, now don't weigh yourself every day.
I know.
Once a week or do it once a month, and because otherwise you'll get depressed. But you turned it around. And
I did.
Yeah, you make it so that it's – now what on – did you ever have days where you gained weight?
Oh, heck yes. I still do.
What did that do to you?
Well, I think that, but that's part of what the goal was, right? So my goal wasn't, hey, Steve, you've got to lose 5 pounds or 10 pounds or 30 pounds. My goal was I'm going to work out every day for the rest of my life. And so, yeah, there were times I got frustrated. There were times I plateaued.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where my connection with other people came in. I mean, I would call friends and go, what is going on? Right.
Yeah.
And they would simply say, keep doing what you're doing. Right. It will change. And I've learned a bunch of stuff. I learned a bunch of stuff about the fact that my body responds to certain foods in ways that yours probably doesn't.
Yeah.
And I can tell because if I eat something today and measure myself in the morning, how the heck did I gain 2 pounds? Well, mm-hmm. it's not really fat. My body's reacting to something I ate. And so I've learned to take certain things out of my diet because they mm-hmm. don't work for me. But it doesn't mean they don't work for you. That's where measurement comes in. It's an awareness of, yeah, I did go up in weight. I'm not going to get depressed about it, but I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to make a change.
Wow, that's a very interesting story because just – and you, how long do you exercise every day?
I have a program that I do. So my exercise, typically most days it's about 45 minutes. Some days it's shorter. Some days I do very, you know, what they would call interval training, and it might only be 10 or 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So it depends on which, you know, which part, which phase I'm in and which day I'm doing.
Oh my gosh, this is interesting. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about this amazing transformation, 30 pounds in 6 months. Wow. We'll be right back with Stephen Hultquist, who is Skyping in from London, England.
The moment after you serve your customer, what will they tell the world? Social media has us so connected that a single voice has unprecedented power to benefit and to harm. What do your customers say? Do you know? Do you respond? What do you say? For years, Steve Hultquist has been helping businesses use the Internet to be more productive and successful. Now he's showing businesses how to go back to the future, fostering and empowering relationships. Learn how to work in this new world. Find Steve at InfiniteSummit.com. Are you living the life you always wanted? Is your relationship fulfilling or a constant roller coaster ride? Do you know how to chart your own path? If you are sick of struggling, overwhelmed, stressed, but desire balance, emotional freedom, and a purposeful life, then it's time to try something that really works. Dr. Casey's unique result-oriented emotional mastery technique will teach you how to be your own therapist while empowering you to be your best. Learn more at drsimoncasey.com. That's drsimoncasey.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. We're visiting with Stephen Hultquist, and he is calling, Skyping in from London. Before we go on to our next topic, Steve, I have another question. Did you go every day to a gym, and did you hire a personal trainer? How did you do this?
Boy, great questions. For me, no. But that, again, that doesn't mean that other people shouldn't do that. I have studied fitness as an athlete for literally decades. And so I was aware of what I needed to do. And I have most of a gym in my house. So, so I work out there, but I also travel all the time. So I use, you know, fitness rooms in hotels. I'll use, you know, a nearby gym or something like that when I'm on the road. But the key is, let's be clear, you got to plan ahead, right? You have to know what you're going to do. Where is it going to fit in your schedule and really take it on? Just like with any kind of transformation, right? You have to be really aware of it every day. Hey, I'm going to do this. I've committed to myself.
And, well, now, did you
and,
do
and
it?
This is a key.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did you try to do it early in the day, or how did that work?
I typically will do it early in the day. I think a big part of what I do is try to get my metabolism revving. That's part of what helps drop the weight. And to do that early in the day is helpful. So I will often do that. There are times, though, as I mentioned, when, you know, I'll realize or for some other reason, like when I fly to a new location, I might have, you know, I need to get to sleep because of the timing and all that. And so I might not be able to do it until the evening. But the key is just to clean up, right? make sure I do it, right?
Well,
so that's what I try to do.
from personal experience, I can tell you that you're going to get a lot of walking in while you're in London. So
right.
You may,
oh, yeah, it's great. It's wonderful.
You may not have to go to the gym that much. Now, right. Let's talk a little bit about you're an expert in personal transformation, and you've taken what you've experienced, your insight into areas of business. Your book, The Change, provides expertise on how businesses have to make some fundamental changes in order to survive and thrive in the interconnected age of social media. Tell us how you came to those insights, and then let's talk about fundamentals or principles that will guide a modern business.
Sure, thanks. You know, having been involved with the internet and technology literally since about the time it was born, I started doing internet stuff in 1984, believe
okay.
it or not. And
yeah.
so I've watched it grow and change, and I've watched how the dynamics of communication are impacted by a network. So I started my career at IBM, and IBM had a
oh.
network internally,
mm-hmm.
and I found myself conversing with people literally all around the world very quickly. Within the first year or two of starting work there, I knew people in Amsterdam and in Atlanta and in California and England and
uh-huh.
Tokyo and South America and so on that I met using the online systems inside IBM. And so I learned that, hey, there's this dynamic of technology that allows for relationships to begin, and you can foster them, and then you can augment them with in-person meetings and so on, which I did at IBM. So there was this sort of learning process that I went through while I was there. And what I saw as I was telling my wife just the other day, in 1995, I encouraged an office complex, a place where like small businesses mm-hmm. would share offices. I encouraged them to install the internet. And I'll never uh-huh. forget the general manager looking at me going, why would we ever do that? Nobody needs that. And, right? This
wow.
was 95, right? This was 20 years ago. And
that
here we are today where none of us could imagine being without it. So
yeah.
so what changes? And having been involved since this and the early days of social media, from Facebook to Twitter to some of these other things, I have watched those dynamics impact people, individuals, and businesses based on, you know, if an individual put something, I remember a young lady put something on Twitter that she intended to be a joke. It was misconstrued. She was on an airplane, was not able to communicate about it. And by the time she landed, she had lost her job.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It happens really
yeah.
fast, doesn't it?
It happens really fast. And she had like 500 followers on Twitter, but they shared it with their followers, and they communicated about it, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, like the
yeah.
old ad. And
mm-hmm.
the next thing you know, most of the world knew.
Uh-huh.
Similarly, you know, I remember I tell this story in the chapter. There was a guy who was getting on a Southwest Airlines flight in Denver and felt that he was treated rudely by the gate agent. And so as he sat down on the plane, he made a tweet about it. And he said, hey, I was at this gate at Denver Airport, and I've never been treated that rudely. And named the agent and tagged Southwest Airlines. And the next thing he knew, they got on the plane and they took him off the plane. And had a conversation with him and forced him to delete the tweet. Well, the next thing you know, of course, that's everywhere, right? Fox
yeah.
picks it up, and the news, the other news people pick it up. And now all of a sudden, the Southwest Airlines, who's usually pretty smart about this kind of thing, was, you know, dealing with the ramifications of a social media incident, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and those are just two examples of how I kind of observed that, look, technology is changing the way humans interact with each other, and most humans are, and businesses especially, business leaders, are
sure.
unfamiliar with how to approach it, what to do about it, how to be strategic, you know, how to be intentional and proactive about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, businesses that are reacting often react poorly. And
yeah.
so that was the process I went through as I kind of thought about, well, how then should they behave?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it's just something that it's amazing. That's an amazing story that you could do a tweet and they would come on the airplane.
Yeah, isn't that nuts? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a crazy world out there. Sometimes it's kind of a scary world, especially now because there's so much talk about Verizon and people on our phones and all the security. What are your thoughts about all of that? Is there sometimes too much of this going on?
Oh, I think there definitely is. I think, you know, as I am an expert in cybersecurity, so I talk on that a lot in the marketplace. There are certainly going to be more and more examples, both of governments doing surveillance, like we're hearing about a lot these days, but also governments and organized crime, and a lot of money is aimed towards breaking in. So we just saw, for example, the Office of Personnel Management of the United States government was broken into. Probably by a nation actor. That appears to be the direction the fingers are pointing. And these things will continue to happen. They're not going to go away anytime soon. There's too much value in the information that's available. And I believe it'll also be weaponized at some point, and we'll see some major damage caused by a break-in as well, just because of all the things that computers control these days. And think about if somebody nefarious gets a hold of that control, what they could do. And we'll see that.
It's like it's like your worst science fiction nightmare.
Right.
It's starting to happen. You know, when you come back on the show July 13th, I would like to do a show with you and make the topic cybersecurity, since you are an expert on it. And so many people have thoughts about it, and a lot of people are just asking a lot of questions. Speaking of asking, I'm going to ask you all to take a moment while we hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Steve Hallquist, he's going to share his website information, share with you how he can get his books, and we're going to talk about the 7 primary areas of business that you need to change. We'll be right back.
Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the Great Success Creator. Miles is a 2-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. Have you ever met someone who was shot in the chest in cold blood and lived to tell it? Now you have. Meet Hannah Lugerai Murray, author, advocate, and survivor of domestic violence, and now the founder and president of Angel of Mercy Shelter of Hope. Her dreamlike life turned to horror as her raging husband stood across her and fired his gun. She was left for dead. By a miracle, she survived to tell her story. Her book is available on Amazon and her website. If you'd like to have a personally signed copy, please visit her website at livetotellit.com. Hannah is now in the process of raising money to build her own shelter in Chandler, Arizona. Her shelter will house abused women, their children, and unique to Arizona, their pets. For more information, please visit her website at angelofmercyshelter.org.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems, people who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes, people who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available 2-for-1 paperback and Kindle editions.
Welcome back with our guest, Stephen Hallquist, who has Skyped in from London. And I am looking at your fabulous website, and I'd like you to share that information and share with our listeners how they can get 2 free lost chapters from your book. And also, where they can get your book and your website.
Super. I'll do that. So I have 2 websites, one for the personal side of things. So if that's of special interest for you, and they all come to me, so you know you can go either place. Mm-hmm. But my name, StephenHultquist.com, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. My last name is Hultquist, H-U-L-T-Q-U-I-S-T.com. And that website is mostly my blog. There's a contact page there. Feel free to drop me a line, and I will connect you. In fact, if you let me know that you got this information from January, I'm going to send you my book for free.
Oh,
so
wow.
I would love to have you do that, and I will get that book off to you immediately because it is out of print. I'm working on the second edition, but I have some copies, so I will get those out to you. And then the second site is infinitesummit.com, just like it sounds, infinitesummit.com. That has some of the business work that I do listed on it, and as well, there's a contact page there too. So if you reach out to me at either one of those places, I would be delighted to get a book off to you and also let you know how we might be able to have a conversation that would assist you in whatever it is you're trying to get done.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I am certainly going to let you know my address because I would personally like an autograph book from you.
You betcha. You betcha.
That's wonderful. And there's a place for your full name and email, and you can subscribe. Stephen sends out tips that he for his followers, and he's got his products, Time Shaving Gold, Time Shaving, Open Your Heart with Skiing. He does a monthly teleseminar, and also Mastering Life Now, a membership application. So be sure to go to his website. Now, Stephen, let's talk a little bit about the 7 primary areas of business that you need to change.
Sure. You know, as I thought about this whole transformation process and how social media was really changing relationships again, there's a couple of things that jumped out at me. You know, back, oh, let's say 100, 150 years ago, before mass production and before, you know, things got shipped all over, most business was local. Most business happened face to face. It happened with people we knew. And if something happened, if somebody mistreated a customer, for example, or a customer, frankly, mistreated the business owner, that information moved quickly through the community, right? And business was about relationships. But over the, you know, the course of, you know, the Industrial Revolution and then all of the things that have happened in the last 100 or so years, that changed and it became about brand and it became about marketing. But what we're seeing now is a shift back, a shift back to relationships, a shift back that people want to trust the business that they're working with. They want to know, for example, that they care about their workers. We see this as people say, you know, are you mistreating people in your supply chain, and how green are you, and you know, all of this. They want to be able to trust the business. And so I sat down and I said, okay, what are the areas, what are the key areas of how we think about our business, how we think about the people in our business, and how can we be a 21st century business instead of living in the past? And so the first thing is, how do you see customers and prospects? And instead of seeing them as numbers, I want to challenge you to see them as people, people who are autonomous, people who will interact with you positively or negatively, depending on how you treat them and how much they trust you. The second
and you
group is your staff. How do you think about your staff? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, people are getting so tired of the impersonal technology.
Yes. I mean, they want to – all. For example, for me, I'm here in a beautiful hotel in London, and ahead of time, I communicated with them because my wife and I had stayed here before, and I said, you know, we would love to have the room that we had the first time we were there in 2009.
Oh.
And they responded to me, and they said, we would love to have you here. We're so glad you're coming back for your anniversary. I'm literally looking across the room at a bottle of champagne that they delivered for us. And And I feel like $1 million, right? They treated me as an individual. And I'm one of, I don't know how many hundred people are staying in this hotel, right? Mm-hmm. But when we're treated as people, we're seen. And this day and age, the value of that you just cannot overestimate it. It is so powerful to see your customers, to let them know they're seen, to let them know you care about them, and that you want them to experience the best you have to offer. That's huge, and people will come back. And by the way, let me be really clear, they will pay more for your products and services if you treat them well.
Wow, that is so important for people to be validated. And it translates to profit, doesn't it?
It does. It translates really directly to profit. People will buy more from you. They'll pay a little bit more. I mean, not a lot more, but they'll pay a little bit more for the same product from you if you treat them well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Briefly touch on how you lead. How are things different for leadership?
Yeah, how you lead really, again, has to do with recognizing that it's about people. But one of the keys here that I think we've gotten wrong for a while is where motivation comes from.
Mm-hmm.
The fundamental job of a leader is to understand what already motivates the team members, because their motivation comes from within. They care about something. They're trying to accomplish something in their lives. And it is the job of a leader to understand that and then to tie that to the objectives of the organization, to say, look, if you help us get to our goals, you're going to get to your goals because X, Y, and Z is going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, and it just all follows along. We're going to take a break and hear from some sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you think about selling and how you reward yourself and your team after you've taken the time to develop a relationship and validation and you've gotten to know people. This is such interesting and formative information for us. We'll be right back with Stephen Hultquist.
Layla, a book by Jeannie Kerrigan, will take you on a journey, a raw, heart-wrenching journey. The final resting place? Love. Jeannie is an author, healer, and executive director of Ricky's Revolution Nonprofit. You can get your copy of her book at JeannieKerrigan.com. Ricky's Revolution comes directly out of Layla, dedicated to helping homeless runaway youths and victims of sex trafficking reach a place of safety. We distribute Jeannie's monkey named Ricky with vital hotline numbers embroidered on him free to children on the street through loving collaboration with thousands. Proceeds from the book and your donations have saved lives. Ricky'sRevolution.org. One expert, one solution. The book, The 411 on Step Parenting, teaches you how to create a well-blended step family. The 411 on Surviving Teenhood helps parents and teens cope with teenage temptations, teachable moments, and teenage social dilemmas. The books, The 411 on Life Skills and Ace Your Life, helps those living on their own with home and money management, personal care and safety, and much more. An award-winning, best-selling author, registered nurse, and personal growth mentor, Michelle Sfakianos will help you. Get the 411, my411books.com. January is thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Nancy Irwin, who will be co-hosting on iHeartRadio with January Jones. As a doctor of psychology, clinical hypnotist, and author of U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife, Dr. Nancy is an agent for change. Many people believe that change can be scary, but she believes it can actually be creative and fun. She does know a thing or two about change because at age 44, she transitioned from a stand-up comedian to shrink. Oh, believe her, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed. Most fears are learned, and the good news is whatever we learned, we can unlearn. Smoking, overeating, fear of public speaking, test anxiety, what have you. On our show, we'll be discussing how you can dissolve that negative programming and free your inner winner. Change is inevitable. You can either affect it or accept it. Visit her site, drnancyirwin.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Stephen Hultquist, and I want everyone listening to tell you that if you are interested in working with Stephen. He's available speaking for organizations, consulting, and he's available for coaching. Go to infinitesummit.com and you can contact him, and I guarantee you'll enjoy working with him. Now, Stephen, briefly, we have 5 minutes. Could you share some suggestions on how you reward yourself, and how do you reward your team?
Yeah, great questions. I think, you know, one of the cores of all of this is finances, and the way that, frankly, the whole internet situation with internet businesses and CEOs and all that has really changed and tweaked the way that people think about finances and sort of lost the roots, foundations. Mm-hmm. Here's the bottom line. The salaries of employees come from the perceived value that customers have. So helping employees understand and really guiding them and coaching them to get that the way their salary moves up is to deliver higher value to the person who's paying the company. And this shift is a real challenge. I've worked with enough to do what I call ownership thinking, helping the employees understand the flow of money through an organization and how important it is. So that's one of the keys in really helping rewarding both yourself as well as your employees.
Mm-hmm. And what about the use of automation and technology in the business? Because we're talking about having the personal relationships with people and your employees, but you still have to have automation and technology working for you, don't you?
You do, and if about how people use technology all the time, right? Every gadgets these days, practically everybody anyway. And one of the challenges about that is that we can get caught up in the technology and lose track of the goal. And the goal of the technology is consistency and speed. It's to do something faster and more consistently. But it is up to people to make it efficient and effective. In other words, to make sure you're doing the right thing well and not simply speeding up a bad idea or not simply using technology to use technology. So it's really working through that process.
Wow. And this is what you need to do. And this is what helps you to think about selling. And selling, you're selling your product, you're selling yourself, and you're really selling your employees and the relationships they have with the customer. How do you, we have 2 minutes, briefly share with us, how do you find new prospects? What do you tell people want that?
That's a great, you know, I think focusing in on the following, right? Sales ultimately are about a person making a decision. Mm-hmm. And people make decisions emotionally. They make a decision based on what matters to them, what they care about. So we're back to motivation. And ultimately, they choose based on what they believe will help them experience or have what they most desire. And so understanding what that is and developing a sales process that understands what they most desire and includes that early in the process, the discovery of that and the delivery of it, that's the key to sales.
Okay. And people are very willing to share what they most desire in the world we live in today, aren't they?
They are. And by the way, social media can help you with that. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah. Well, we will do a show with you on social media. That'll be very good to get your take on that. And Steve, thank you so much for visiting with us today. I know you're jet lagged, but thank you for Skyping in. And Steve will be back with us July 13th, and we're going to talk about cybersecurity. Also, I recommend you go to his website, infinitesummit.com. Thank you, Steve, and have a wonderful anniversary.
Always great. Thanks, January.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. Hasn't it been fascinating hearing from someone over the pond? My upcoming guests will all amaze, amuse, and astonish you. This is the show where you hear information that will help you to become successful. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. If you would like to be a guest or advertise with us, just go to info@januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success today. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to our guest today, Stephen Hultquist. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Soranto.
Thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.